Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
720 WGN, I'm John Landecker. Thanks for tuning in. It's 8 minutes after 8 o'clock. So I'm reading an article today in the... where am I reading the article? In about ranked choice, okay? And the Block Club. Thank you. And ranked choice voting in the Block Club. And I've been following this concept for a while. And that was just a short clip of a video link that the Block Club put up trying to explain what ranked choice voting is in terms of people ordering food. That's just a very short part of the video explanation. And to help us with further explaining what the whole idea behind ranked choice voting is Gary Schatz, who's the Speaker Bureau Deputy Lead for Fair Vote Illinois. Gary, thank you for coming on WGN this evening.
Well, John, thank you so much for having me on your show.
Well, my pleasure. I've been following the ranked choice voting idea for a while now. It's been around, but not this close to Chicago, I don't think, until Alderman Matt Martin introduced a resolution to the city council last week calling for a hearing to discuss it. Can you explain this? I've gone over it multiple times in my head, and I think I get the basic idea, but I don't quite grasp yet the entirety of it.
Sure. And I think it's helpful if you think about an election, and let's talk right. specifically about a primary election, because so many right. of our primaries have 3, 4, 5, 6. If it's a presidential primary early on, it can have up to 20 people sometimes running for it. Or in the city of Chicago, the last mayoral election, there were 13 people on the ballot. And so if you think about how we elect our officials right now, actually, the city of Chicago is a perfect example, because right now Chicago does a runoff election. So if no one gets the majority, and with 13 people on the ballot, who could get a majority? It's impossible to get a majority. So the top two vote getters do a runoff there, and then it's just the two of them. So by default, when you have two people running, you will automatically get a majority. Somebody will win with a majority of votes. But we think we're electing our candidates with majorities. But the reality is, in that mayoral election, when Tony Preckwinkle and Lori Lightfoot won, they were the top two candidates, neither of them cracked 20% of the vote. So if you think about it, what that actually means is 80%, an overwhelming majority, didn't want either of them. Now, those 80% split their vote. They spread it out amongst a bunch of other candidates, and so no one else got more than either of them did. But we talk about majorities, we talk about democracy, we talk about majorities winning, but we're constantly electing our officials without majorities. Especially in primaries, we're nominating them without majorities. When Governor Pritzker was running against Bruce Rauner, he won the Democratic primary. He didn't have a majority. When Bruce Rauner was running against Pat Quinn, he didn't have a majority. So we're under this illusion that majorities are electing our officials, and it's often not. It's what we call a plurality, the most votes, but not the majority of votes. And so what ranked choice voting does is it makes it more accurate to say that this candidate who wins has the majority of preferred support. And so that's sort of a way to think about it. It helped me when I started to get involved. It never occurred to me that the person with the most votes doesn't necessarily have the majority of votes. And that's part of the reason, even though federally, the Congress has a lower than 20% approval rating and yet a higher than 90% incumbency rate. We don't think they do a good job, and yet we keep electing them over and over and over again. Something is broken, and this is part of that system that's broken.
So the system, as I understand it, this ranked choice voting, you as a voter select more than one candidate on the initial ballot. Is that correct?
That is correct. And there's still only one ballot. But
right.
You will rank those candidates in the order in which you would prefer them. Now, so would that imagine be, if you went to,
I
a,
mean,
oh, sorry,
would that
go
mean,
ahead.
No, I mean, would that be, so there's 19 people running for, I believe there's 19 candidates for Chicago mayor this year. So would that mean you would make 19 choices?
You could. We would love it if you did. That may be a tall mountain to climb. You don't have to.
No, in order of your, you know, priorities, here's the one I like the best, second place, third place, and so on.
Yes, if I want Paul Vallis to be mayor, but if I can't have Paul Vallis, right, I want Chuy Garcia. And if I can't have Chuy Garcia, then I want Mayor Lightfoot. If I can't have Mayor Lightfoot, and so on and so forth.
Right.
Yes, that is how you do it. And then what happens, we're assuming everybody does that. And after everybody puts in their ballot, and to be clear, you don't have to rank everybody. You actually don't have to rank anybody. You can still vote for one candidate if you want. But this gives you the power to say, you know, I'm going to vote for this person. I don't know that it gives you the chance to vote for a candidate that really speaks to you. Even if that candidate seems like a long shot, you won't feel like you're wasting your vote. You won't feel like you're casting a spoiler vote. You can vote with your heart because you can say, all right, I'm going to vote for this candidate. But if I don't get that candidate, then I'm going to vote for this other candidate next. And what happens is when the votes are tallied, if no one has 50%, the candidate with the least amount of votes is dropped out of the race. And everyone who voted for them, we look to see who voted for that, who was the next candidate they preferred on their ballot. And you move those votes from the candidate that was dropped to the other candidates. And so you, the voter, you still only really get one vote. Your vote just may move from candidate to candidate, depending on who drops out and who is next on your preferred list.
When you filled out your initial ballot, saying that you're doing this, you're using this ranked voting system, you've made your choices. These are the choices that you've made. They're predetermined so that if, like you just said, the candidate with the least vote drops out, and say he was or she was, that person was your candidate, then your next choice would immediately go into effect. Have I got that right?
Yes. Let's say you voted for Paul Vallis first on your mayoral ballot.
Right.
And nobody has a majority, and he has the least amount of votes.
Gotcha.
So if he has the least amount, he would be dropped out of the race. Mm-hmm. And since you voted for him first, they're going to look at your ballot and see who you voted for second. Mm-hmm. And you put Chuy Garcia second. And so they're going to move your vote to Chuy Garcia, and they're going to add to his tally. And then they're going to do that for everyone who voted for Paul Vallis. And then they're going to see, now that we've added these other votes to the other candidates, does somebody now crack 50%? And if they did, they're the winner. If still no one has, the same thing happens. They drop the next lowest candidate, move the votes around from that candidate that has been dropped out, and again, retally them up to see. And eventually, you will get, sometimes it does come down to the last two, but eventually you will get a candidate with 50%. And so we can feel confident that we have elected a candidate with the majority of preferred support. We can feel better about the candidate has actually broader support.
Does this occur on multiple? I mean, pardon my ignorance
really
on this,
depends.
But is this a multiple ballot procedure? I mean,
still just one ballot.
Yeah, but I mean,
you vote once.
Right, but I mean, how many different cycles? How long does it take to run a cycle, I guess, maybe is the question.
So as far as like vote tallying, the counting of the votes, you know, luckily, while ranked choice voting is new to Illinois, just passed, it's going to start in Evanston in next year. They just passed a referendum there. And we're hoping to bring it statewide. And yes, Chicago is taking the baby steps to sort of get started with it. But it's been around a while. There's a few states, Maine and Alaska, that have it statewide. There's a lot of cities that have it. New York City has it. So the voting machines already exist that know how to do this. So while it seems like it's this long process, the algorithms are in place. That what takes a long time is if there's a recount needed and it has to be recounted by hand, that does take a little longer. But the computers, it's not really noticeably longer. What takes longer is collecting all of the absentee ballots and the mail-in ballots and all those things that we've now, over the last couple of election cycles, we've grown accustomed to delaying our results, if you will. So it does take longer to us and in your head, but to the machines counting, it's seconds.
Well, you just can't.
It really doesn't take that long.
You can't overnight decide to do this. There must be some sort of infrastructure.
That is correct.
Implemented correct. To do that. What would be what steps would need to be taken to implement that?
So, luckily, like I said, most of the voting, the companies that provide the voting machines, they already have the sort of the software or the machines that can do it. Because a lot of places already do it. Like I said, New York City does it.
Right.
Alaska and Maine do it. A bunch of places in California do it. A lot of countries overseas do it. So it's not a new thing. The education is really the biggest part of it. You know, to your point, 19 people on the ballot. It's a lot to ask the residents of the city of Chicago to rank their top mayoral candidates in order from 1 to 19. We understand that. And so a lot of it is educating the public so that they don't feel intimidated by it. You know, one of the great things about the New York City mayoral election that was ranked choice voting was that people loved it. And that also had, I don't remember the number off the top of my head, but it was a lot of candidates. It was also in the teens and maybe higher. And an incredible, like over 70% of ballots were ranked entirely, were filled out. They ranked all the candidates in order. We are a society that loves to rank stuff, right? We love to rank our top, our favorite Tom Hanks movies.
Oh, yeah.
And our, you know, and our favorite Zeppelin songs. Like, we love to rank things. But it does, so it is asking the voter a little bit more. So there is time. Like I said, we just got the ordinance passed in Evanston in November, but it's going to be, I think, 2025 before it actually starts there, because we need time to educate people on how to do it. We don't want people intimidated. The last thing we want is to keep people from coming to the polls. If anything, we want this to hopefully get people, encourage more people to come out and vote.
Well, that brings me to my last question, and that is, this is a proposed change in the system of electing officials in Chicago. It's a change in the voting procedure. Knowing voting, the history of voting in the city of Chicago, I'm guessing, you're laughing at this, I'm guessing that there's got to be some vested interest that's totally against this.
There is. There's always people opposed to everything, right? And certainly the city of Chicago is no different. And the reality is, if you are a machine politician, if those exist anymore, you don't like this, because the machine is working for you. And why would you want to break a system that maybe elected you without a majority? You know, maybe you're not so sure of your constituent support.
Right.
Maybe
you're
not doing your job. Yes, you're absolutely right. And to your point, that motion that was already brought to city council was already killed as far as having a hearing. So it's going into committee. It's still alive, per se.
Right. Yeah,
but
I know.
It was on a fast track, and it's very easy to kill that fast track. And it was killed immediately. And so it's still going to happen, we hope. I mean, this is a long road to hope, for sure. Yeah. And change is always going to scare some people. But the reality is, we need government officials that more represent the majority of their constituents. That's all we're trying to do. This doesn't affect the city of Chicago, but on a grander scale, if you're a Republican who is maybe not happy with the direction your party is taking, you would love ranked choice voting, because the kind of candidates that are gathering headlines and making sort of outlandish statements and claims and enraging people, they do that because you can win small galvanized minority and let the vote splitters spread their votes on amongst the more broader support moderate candidates, and these extreme candidates win. And then suddenly they can't win general elections because they win a primary, but they're too out there for the general. If you don't, ranked choice voting solves that. It gets rid of that stuff. Yeah. Sarah Palin hated it in Alaska. Well, she hates it because it doesn't work for her and her brand of politics. It's for the rest of us that don't want these extremist types.
All right. Well, Gary,
moderate people.
Gary, thank you very much for being with us and shedding some light on this. It's been a pleasure talking to you. All the best.
You too, John. I hope that helped you understand it.
It sure did. Thank you. That's Gary Schatz, deputy lead for the Speaker's Bureau of Fair Vote Illinois and a look into the idea of ranked choice voting. John Landecker at 720 WGN.